This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Up, up and away, we are talking about space tourism, something that doesn't even exist yet, technically. But our question is, how willing are you to spend money on first-generation products and tech? This is because Virgin Galactic intends on being the first space tourism company to go public. Asking for feedback, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram is at BFM Radio.
You know, I'm done investing in early tech. I've paid way too much money to like at platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, yes, and stuff, right? I'm disappointed.
No more.
The only thing I was satisfied. The only thing that arrived and I was satisfied because it really was like what I invested in was the Pebble.
Right.
Was the first smartwatch, right? And the original Pebble was the one thing I was like, wow, they really made this. It was really nice. Of course, it had, you know, some issues and problems with battery life and the screen and stuff. But beyond that, it made me happy.
You bought some shades. I remember you buying some shades from Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's like for your rave parties and stuff, which, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't quite work. When it works, then, you know, people actually do go like, hey, that's cool shades, because they follow the equalizer and stuff. It's just one of those hippie things that I once in a while venture into. Mm-hmm. And then I've got like a 3D printer pen.
Yes.
That doesn't actually make anything.
Yes, I remember you bringing that.
I tried building an Eiffel Tower that just, you know, it kind of fell flat.
I remember you coming in saying, look at this, how cool it is. And everybody was like, why did you buy that, Jeff?
I've got a DG film camera thingy that the idea was great. It's from Yashica, which is a great company that builds analog cameras from, you know, in the World War II days and stuff. But, you know, in their venture into this DG film camera thingy is horrible.
Didn't work.
Terrible.
Anyway, keeping in mind with future tech,
And first gen products.
Mm. I promise you a flavorful story, and it is this one. Behold, the boneless, fishless fish fillet.
It is. And it's by Impossible Foods. So they are coming out with, they're trying to figure out how to make boneless, fishless fish, basically. So Impossible Foods, they are the company behind the Impossible Whopper, which is a burger that you can get at Burger King in the US. It's not here yet. And they've come up with meatless meat burgers by using organic flavoring and lab-grown meat to replace animal-produced meat. They're now working on fishless fish, meaning the fish is either made from vegetable-based ingredients or it uses a type of protein that allows them to grow artificial meat in the lab. So this kind of protein, these cells will sort of turn into like actual meat in the lab, but it takes a lot of time. So the fastest they've been able to do it, or their counter company has been able to do it, is 3 weeks to make a pound of salmon.
Oh,
which is long.
That's a long time.
So most of this is plant-based. At the moment, they have 125 people in their team, in their research team alone, 125 people. They want to make it 200 people soon. And they also want to replace all animal-based meat products by 2035, which is about 15 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
What they need to do that is the market and is the financing. But the problem is this fishless fish works as a business opportunity. It works as an environmentally friendly opportunity. It doesn't work as a business opportunity. So from a business standpoint, it takes away the need for animal farms, which is good. It cuts costs, it's safer, and it's more consistent. It might be our only source of fish very soon, because they say that billions of people across the world depend on seafood as their main source of protein. So the world's marine fish stocks are 90% depleted because of overfishing. Mm. So we have 10% of marine, edible marine life left. In simple terms, what it means is that there aren't enough fish in the sea in the future. People may need or may never know what actual fish meat tastes like, because once companies like this come up, they might have to depend on artificial fish instead. So Impossible Foods is trying to figure out how to meet that demand with this type of actual organic fish meat, instead of making 100% purely plant-based meat instead. But the interesting thing about this is it works from a business perspective, but it doesn't work from a market perspective, because their meatless meat, it caters to a market market called the flexitarian market. So they like meat. They just want the health benefits of being vegan. So they don't actually care about the environment. They don't care about what it does to animals and stuff. They just want to be healthy. But
it's a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. Right? Yeah. So they want to be healthy, but they like the taste of meat. So they resort to like Impossible Burger because it's the closest thing that comes to like actual beef patties, chicken patties and stuff. And because meat or especially red meat has been linked to health problems, so they sort of like avoid that and then they get Impossible Burgers red meat. But fish hasn't been linked to any health problems.
Yeah.
There's no, there are not many like, you know,
mercury poisoning though.
Not as much. Yeah. So you know, it's not as it's not as the paranoia is not as high.
There's actually a lot of health benefits.
Health benefits.
Having salmon and stuff, right?
To having like fish and stuff. So there's no actual reason for flexitarians to depend on fishless fish. So they don't have a market. They might have a product. They don't have a market that would actually buy into fishless fish. So that's a problem. I mean, very small segment of the market believes in like, and you know, being eco-friendly, being like, you know, kind to animals and stuff.
My issue with this is, you know, Matt and I, we spoke about this lab-grown meat, I think at least 3-4 years ago when it was kind of like first demoed or at least kind of like tested out, and this is what they're going to do, this is the grand plan. And, you know, I was absolutely disgusted by the whole idea of this lab-grown meat and stuff.
Why?
And 3 years from then and today, I'm still am, you know, disgusted by the thought of seeing a lab grown meat. Just the idea itself, like, you know, it's in a laboratory, it's in this like, you know, clear container,
petri dish.
And then you just see meat, and it's meat that it's kind of look like, if you Google lab grown meat on Google Images, don't do it during lunchtime, and if you look at the images, it will turn you off, and I'm like, I'm not gonna eat this. But I do see the issue of it being so, you know, critical for just, you know, the people who consume a lot of seafood or fish in their dietary, especially people who live by the coast. I was just watching yesterday Vox on YouTube. They have this series called Vox Borders.
Yeah.
And Johnny Harris, who's like one of my favorite YouTubers, he's doing this series in India. And yesterday they uploaded an episode that talks about the border between India and Sri Lanka down south, and it's how there's a war that's happening, and it's a war of you know, who gets to fish
in certain areas.
Yep. And there's a border that's you know, you can't cross a certain area, and you know, to keep it short, India is using these kind of boats that sweep the entire ocean bed, ruin the entire, you know, corals and life that is critical to sustain a living underwater for these fishes. But they die because not only they capture thousands of fishes, they kill things that the would enable more fishes to survive.
Yeah.
Like you said, that maybe only be 10% of edible marine in the future, right?
They had a very similar issue over in Europe with what they called the Cod Wars, you know, fishing off the north coast of England, or rather Scotland. You had Iceland fishing around that area, essentially wiped out all of the cod in that area. People were then moving on to fish further away, and it caused real problems for supply and demand, and of course it pushed price up. But you know, what we are seeing now, obviously, is a lot more plastic, and we're a lot more aware of it as well. And stuff like that, I think, is good. And this is a very skeptical way of looking at it, but it's good marketing for something like the boneless, fishless fish.
Yeah.
You know, we know that we need to be aware of plastic in the ocean. We know that the fish are declining in the ocean. We have to look for alternatives. The problem is it's a scaling up problem, isn't it? You know, it's okay, we've got 125 staff, we want 200 staff, but effectively you want 20,000 staff being able to produce a heck of a lot more meat, right?
And
to make it look appealing so that people like Jeff and other people might want to try it a little bit further off down the line.
Yeah. So just flipping like the first question on this, since it is first gen products and tech, would you invest in this kind of company? Because there's like there's wild type.
I would definitely.
You would.
More, I guess, you know, I could actually see the real thing compared to space tourism.
I could definitely see benefits for this.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to wrap up though, but if you want to feedback on that question, or rather on that topic, 018 789 8899 online is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Short break, music coming up from Pink Floyd with Green is the Colour. When we come back, final story of the day, 25 million Android phones infected with a malware that hides in your WhatsApp. Don't go anywhere, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.